Thank you, Brother and Mrs. Brown. Appreciate that beautiful song. I was so blessed again to hear Cindy play what she played at the beginning of our worship today. It brought back so many memories for Sally and I. We just kind of elbowed each other right away because we could hear Dr. Charles Weigel himself sing that, because while we were in college, he was there. He was just somebody that ministered to the students, was there to be a blessing to the students. And we have wonderful, precious memories of knowing Charles Weigel and being blessed by his ministry. He was in his early 90s, and he was still singing to the glory of God. And what a blessing to hear that song once again remind me of just the joy of the Lord. Our passage that we had read has reminded us that it's important that we as Christians find that the most important thing that God wants out of us as stewards is that we be found faithful. I'm reminded of when Jesus met with the disciples and was giving them a parable, and he told how the talents were passed out, and some received 10, some received 5, and some may have received only 1. But it's interesting to note that the talents were passed out according to the ability of those that were receiving them. And so God gives unto us a measure of the gift of grace according to the ability that we have to receive them and His plan and purpose for our life. I'm reminded that Paul told us in Philippians chapter 2 that we're to work out our own salvation. But the next verse in chapter 2 and verse 13 says, it's according to God's will and His good pleasure. So what He does with us is according to His will and His good pleasure. However, that's all meted out. And my message today has to do with Epaphroditus. As we noted in the bulletin, it's a study on faithfulness. And we're going to be looking in chapter 2 of Philippians, and then actually in chapter 4, because the first reference we have to Epaphroditus historically is when he was sent by the Philippian Christians to minister to the Apostle Paul when he was in Thessalonica. But we'll look at that in just a moment. So if you turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2 and put your finger there or a marker, we're going to come back to chapter 2 and verse 25 and following in just a moment. But I wanted to bring to your attention the fact that there's two names in the Bible that might be confusing, Epaphroditus and Epaphras. And in reality, I discovered as I investigated the language and everything that Epaphras is really just a short way of saying Epaphroditus. So if I have Stephen here, I could call him Stephen or I could call him Steve, but referring to the same person. But in this case, it's not really the same person. It's just a man with the same name. And Epaphras in Colossae was a different man than the Epaphroditus that ministered from Philippi to the Apostle Paul. And that's clear from Colossians chapter 1, because it says that you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who was for you a faithful minister of Christ. So it was Epaphras who was greatly used of God to help start the church in Philippi, maybe even been the founder, maybe even been the missionary that led the first ones to Christ and established the church at Colossae. But the important thing is that we understand that we're talking about two different characters, and we want to talk to you today about Epaphroditus and the ministry that he had. And let's have a word of prayer, then we'll get started with the message that God's put on my heart. Father, we thank you for men like Epaphroditus, who found their place in your kingdom, in your kingdom's work, and found great joy and pleasure in carrying out that ministry, not just once or twice, but for many years. And we thank you for the sacrifices he made to set an example for us. And I pray that we might be encouraged in whatever walk of life we find ourselves, whatever place of ministry we find ourselves, that we might be emboldened to set about to be faithful in doing what God has called us to do with a heart desiring only to please you and to put you first and to make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life and do all things for his honor and for His glory, for it's in His name we pray. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, and if you look carefully, you'll find in verse 14, it tells us a little bit about Epaphroditus and what happened to Paul when he was a faithful, or Epaphroditus was a faithful messenger. And the first time he was found being faithful in doing this work as a messenger was when Paul was in Thessalonica. If you study the ministry of the Apostle Paul, you'll find that he took basically four major missionary journeys. The last one being the one where he was put on a Roman ship and sent to Rome for trial. But it was because he appealed to Caesar. And that was the fourth missionary journey. But on the second missionary journey, Paul ventured up into the area of Asia Minor and started to minister in Philippi. And then from there, he went over into Thessalonica. Well, after he had been in Thessalonica for a time, the church in Philippi learned that he had some needs. And so it says in Philippians chapter 4, "Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." Now, he's telling the people in Philippi this. He's saying, this is what you've done for me. "Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you alone." So the Philippian church was doing a great job of caring for the Apostle Paul in his ministry of going about doing the missionary work. "For even in Thessalonica," now notice what he said, "ye sent once and again unto my necessity." Not just once, but more than once. And it could have been several times. "Not because I desired a gift, but I desired fruit that may abound to your account." Now this is the background of a very popular verse that we quote all the time, but we don't really pay attention to the background sometimes. But look at verse number 18. "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of who?" Who does it say there? Epaphroditus. "Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." These people in Philippi had made a tremendous sacrifice to take up offerings to send to the Apostle Paul in Thessalonica so his needs could be met. Now, here's the wonderful promise that God gave the people in Philippi. "But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory." Well, why is He going to do that? Because they just made a sacrifice. They had just done some sacrificial giving. They had just gone beyond their ability to make it possible for Paul to continue to carry on his ministry. And so God gave this wonderful assurance to the people of Philippi. God's not going to leave you. God's going to take care of you. You made a wonderful sacrifice, and God bless you for the sacrifices that you made. So first of all, we want to make note of the fact that Epaphroditus was seen as a faithful minister. He started doing this in Thessalonica. Now, think about the time frame here. And if you look at the map, you can see that Philippi and Thessalonica are probably maybe 50 or 75 miles apart, not a big distance. But if you're walking, it's not an overnight trip. It takes you a little bit more than an hour to get from Philippi to Thessalonica, especially if you're just walking. And that's basically how they did most of what they did. And so when Epaphroditus was commissioned to make this, trip to Thessalonica, he did it, and Paul was grateful for what he had received. But Thessalonica was the beginning of the ministry of Epaphroditus as a messenger. Now, let's go over to Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 25. And you're going to see here again, Epaphroditus is mentioned in the context of Paul being in Rome. In Ephesians chapter 2, and verse 25, I'm sorry, Philippians chapter 2. "Yet I suppose it necessary to you to send Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor and fellow soldier." But notice what he said, "your messenger." Here Epaphroditus was now in Rome. Why was he in Rome? Because the Philippian Christians had sent him again. Now, from Philippi to Rome is a little bit of a different story. Now, if you go by boat, you might be able to get there in several days or several weeks. But if you take the long trip up around the Lake of whatever the lake's name is, Aegean Sea, I think it is. And you go up around that big lake and walk down to Rome. That is a long, long journey. And he's making it all by himself. It's just Epaphroditus doing what God has called him to do, to be a messenger, not to just Paul in Thessalonica, but Paul in Rome. And so he was a messenger serving God faithfully, just doing what God called him to do, being a messenger. What was he doing? Maybe carrying a letter, maybe carrying food, maybe carrying supplies, but maybe just carrying encouragement from the people at Philippi, maybe carrying money. We don't know what he was carrying. All we know is he was a messenger. Now, is that a big deal to be a messenger? If that's what God calls you to do, it's a great big deal that you be the messenger that God called you to be and be faithful at it. And there's no doubt that this was going on for many, many years. Now, you start taking the time frame. We're talking about Thessalonica early in Paul's ministry and his second missionary journey. Paul didn't get to Rome until his fourth missionary journey, probably 25, 35 years later. So here, what was Epaphroditus doing all this time? Being a messenger. Just being a messenger. And doing whatever the church asked him to do, to be a messenger for the Apostle Paul, for the church, for the Philippian group of people. And he was a faithful messenger to Paul in Rome. Again, he came to Paul, and he had some other work there as well. But I wanted to focus, first of all, on the fact that he was a messenger. And now we have to recognize also that Epaphroditus was also a missionary or a messenger to Philippi, because it goes on later on in chapter 2, in verse 29, he's telling the church in Philippi to receive Epaphroditus in the Lord with all gladness and hold him in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service towards me. So now Paul was sending Epaphroditus back to the Philippian church with a message, the letter. I think he was sending the letter, the Philippian letter, to tell them about what was going on. But it was Paul's message to the church in Philippi that this faithful messenger was carrying out. Now, you might not think it a big deal to be a messenger, but we are messengers for Jesus Christ. We are faithful stewards of the mysteries of God. We are we were just given as children of God to be faithful carrying out the message that God has given us, the Word of God, and making other people aware of the wonderful blessings of life in knowing where you are in your service for Christ, and being content with knowing that God has given you an opportunity to be whatever it is, a messenger it was for Epaphroditus. Notice also that he was not just a messenger, but he was a faithful servant. In Philippians chapter 2 again, verses 25 and following, he said that my brother, companion in labor and fellow soldier, and he that ministered. And so here he is. He's being a faithful servant to the Apostle Paul. Look again in verse 30. For the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service. He was, again, in the work of Christ, serving as a faithful servant for the church at Philippi. Referencing again chapter 2, 25 and chapter 4, 18. He was again ministering as a faithful servant of Christ. It did not really matter to Epaphroditus exactly what he was called upon to do. He was only going to be a faithful messenger, or he was going to be a faithful servant to the church and to the Apostle Paul. And as he came back to Paul in Rome, it was there that he would become not only a minister to Paul, not only his servant, but also, I believe, a faithful friend of the Apostle Paul. Because as we look at these situations in Paul's life, where Epaphroditus was a companion in labor and a fellow soldier, and he that ministered to my wants. Here was Epaphroditus. He was sent to Rome. He was there to bring things from the church at Philippi, but there he stayed around and ministered faithfully to the wants of his dear friend, Paul the Apostle, because all of these years he had gone back and forth in different cities, from the Philippian church to the Apostle Paul in Thessalonica, from the Philippian church again, from Philippian church. I don't know, it could have been all over the area of Asia Minor that Paul had received gifts from the Philippian church. We don't know all of the records, but we know some that are written down here. But all of those years, we're thinking about 25, 30 years, Epaphroditus was just doing what God called him to do. So don't give up. Don't tire out. Don't worry about the time. Don't worry about the effort. Just keep on doing. God's given us His promises that don't be weary in well-doing, but God's going to reward you for your faithfulness. We know that. The Scripture is very clear on it. So we just need to be consistent and faithful in carrying out the work of Christ that He's given us to do. And then he was a faithful servant for the church in Philippi, for the Apostle Paul, and it was for the work of Christ. Not just doing it for Philippian Christians, not just doing it for Paul, but doing it as a service unto Christ. And so whatever you're doing, if you can find it within yourself to recognize that you're doing it as a service unto Christ, it makes a whole world of difference in how you carry out what you're doing. Now, there's some things around my house I'm a little bit OCD about. I do some things that most men wouldn't bother even thinking about doing. And she says, "Well, honey, I got to let you know, I'm so glad, I'm so thankful that you do it." I said, "It's okay, honey. I don't care whether you thank me or not. I'm doing it for the Lord. I'm doing it to please the Lord. I know this is what He wants me to do." "Well," I said, "that's really great. Go at it." You know, she's happy to let me do whatever I want to do, as long as it's helping her life be a little bit easier and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Which is good. That's fine, you know. And we can do things like that for one another. And we can put ourselves out. But if we're, whatever we're doing, if we do it as a service unto the Lord, it makes a whole lot of difference. You know, I can remember when I was probably a boy, maybe 11 or 12 years of age, we made a trip to Michigan with my dad and mom and seven kids in a wonderful car. Imagine fitting nine people and, you know, and the bench seat in the back, we had six people on it. And two of us were sitting on each other's laps. And we were going for 4 or 6 hours across Ohio up into Michigan to see my wife's or my mother's family. And I can remember being up there and having time together and having a picnic and having food all around and being out in the... And things had to be cleaned up. Well, guess where Cloyd found himself? Can anybody guess? In the kitchen, standing next to Aunt Mary, washing the dishes. Oh, she says, "Cloyd, get out of here. Go out and play with the kids." "No, I want to help you." I was just a little boy. But God had put it in my heart to be. I did it with my mom at home, but then it was something that was just part of who I was growing up, and it's part of who I still am. And I don't mind that. It's no big deal. You know, I'm doing it for the Lord. I'm not doing it for your praise. I'm not doing it for your adulation. I'm doing it for the Lord. And when I do it unto Him. And I'm happy doing it. So whatever you do, be happy doing it unto the Lord. Whether it's in the kitchen, whether it's in a warehouse, whether it's in a computer shop, whether it's in, I don't know, you're retired. You don't have anything to do. You're just sitting around your trailer. I don't, whatever you do, do it, whatever you do, do it for the Lord as unto Him and glorify Him and please Him with your attitude about it. That's the kind of servant Epaphroditus was. He was a faithful servant. He was a faithful messenger. He was a faithful friend. He ministered to the needs of his good friend, the Apostle Paul. Now, oh, I read that wrong. He didn't minister to his needs. He ministered to his wants. So even Apostle Paul had some things he wanted that he wouldn't necessarily feel entitled to have or needed to have, but because Epaphroditus was the man he was kind enough to look after the Apostle Paul and give him what he wanted. Isn't that interesting? How we can help somebody else get what they want and feel great satisfaction and gratitude and opportunity to be able to do that. I remember watching my wife minister to her mother in her latter days as we went to be with her when she was put into hospice at her home in Duncansville, Pennsylvania. And I watched as Sally did things with her mother, but nobody else would do. Because she wanted to care for her mother. She wanted to be a blessing to her mother, who was having her last days on this earth. And she wanted her mother to know that if nobody else cared enough to do that, she did. And that's the kind of service we need for one another in the body of Christ. That when nobody else will do it, we'll be inclined to do it as a service unto the Lord to glorify Him and to please Him and to show our love for one another. He was a faithful servant. He was a faithful messenger. He was a faithful friend of the Apostle Paul. And he was a faithful friend of the church at Philippi, because Paul was sending him back. And when he was received back, Paul reminded them to hold this man in high regard, receive him with gladness, and hold him in reputation. Honor him because he's a man that deserves to be recognized for his faithful service to you and to me. He's a faithful friend and certainly needs to be honored in the way to honor that friendship and that closeness that he was displaying. So being a faithful friend, being a faithful servant, being a faithful messenger. We find ourselves in opportunities from time to time where our friendship with somebody will lead us to do something above and beyond what is normally expected. And if that's the case, then let's be faithful in doing that. He also was seen as a fellow soldier. He was fighting the battles with the Apostle Paul. And it said in verse 25 again of chapter 2, my brother, my companion in labor and fellow soldier. That means, and it certainly implies, that Epaphroditus was fighting the battles with the Apostle Paul. Who it was against, we're not sure. The enemies, those that would come against him, those that were trying to even malign him within the church. But whatever the case was, he was a fellow soldier. He was doing that which would help him carry on with the Apostle Paul and help the Apostle Paul accomplish what he wanted. So being a fellow soldier is only said of one other person in the Scripture by the Apostle Paul, and that was Archippus. And so Paul found two very faithful people that he recognized that they were fellow soldiers because they carried on the work that was so important for getting out the gospel and doing the work of the ministry in helping other people to come to faith in Christ. And so it was in labor for the church of Philippi that Epaphroditus became so weary and sick and sickly that he almost died. In fact, let's read about that in chapter 26 or verse 26 and 27. It tells us, for Epaphroditus longed after you all because he was full of heaviness. Now, that friendship was very real between Epaphroditus and the Philippian Christians. Because you'd heard he'd been sick, and he was troubled that you'd heard he'd been sick. Why, that bothered him. It just bothered him. He didn't want to trouble his friends with the knowledge that he was sick. But he was indeed sick, and Paul says, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. So it seems to imply that Epaphroditus had worked so hard and labored so abundantly in such difficulty that his life was in danger. He had worn himself out working so hard and so faithfully that he was about to die. We don't know why, but God had mercy on him and restored him to good health and sent him back to the Philippian Christians. And in light of all of that, I think Paul was wanting the Philippians to do right by Epaphroditus and recognize his astounding commitment to being a fellow soldier. He actually, time and time again, purposely, not regarding his own life, exposed himself to danger in order to accomplish the work that he had done. Again, traveling. We just said that Paul sent him back to the Philippian church. Where was Paul? He was in Rome. Where's Philippi? Way over on the other side of Asia Minor. Days, weeks, months to go from one place to another. No guarantee of safety. Even if he was able to get a boat passage, it might cut the trip down by 50%. But he's still talking about weeks and months of travel in order to get the message across. We think about these things. Sometimes we don't take time to realize how really difficult it was. This was not an easy thing to do. Paul was sending Epaphroditus on a dangerous journey. We had no assurance that he'd be able to make the trip, complete the trip, be safe on the trip, other than the fact the promises of God would be with him. The important thing was that Epaphroditus was willing to put himself into danger over and over and over again. For 25 or 30 years, Epaphroditus carried out this ministry of being a messenger and a servant and a faithful friend and a fellow soldier of Paul, but a faithful friend to the church at Philippi and to the Apostle Paul himself. Now, our life is spent in just doing what God has called us to do and doing it to the best of our ability. Now, our pastor loves to sing a song, and I love to hear him sing the song because it's always a special blessing to Sally and I. Written by Ira Stanfield, and the song is titled Follow Me. I'm going to read the words to it. It goes, I travel down a lonely road and no one seemed to care. Can you see Epaphroditus traveling down a lonely road? No one seemed to care out there all by himself. The burden on my weary back had bowed me to despair. I oft complained to Jesus how folks were treating me. And then I heard him say so tenderly, my feet were oh so weary. I started singing, I'm sorry. up on the Calvary Road. The cross became so heavy. I fell beneath the load. Be faithful, weary pilgrim. The morning I can see. Just lift your cross and follow close to me. Verse number 3. O Jesus, if I die on a foreign field someday, 'twould be no more than love demands, no less could I repay. No greater love hath mortal man than for a friend to die. And these are the words he gently spoke to me. If just a cup of water I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all I demand. But if by death the living they can thy glory see, I'll take my cross and follow close to thee. Dear friends, let's just follow close to Jesus today. I'm going to encourage you to walk with him and be faithful. Love Jesus with all your heart. If you've never come to Christ and been born again, you can come to Christ and be saved today and find a life filled with purpose and joy and meaning and take away the emptiness out of your soul, because Jesus can fill that void, and he will if you'll let him. Let's stand together and we'll sing a closing hymn after I have a word of prayer. Brother Bradley will come. Father, we thank you for your word, thank you for the character of the Apostle Paul, the great lessons that we learn from the life of Epaphroditus. Just, well, if we could say that, a faithful servant, a faithful friend, a faithful messenger, a faithful fellow soldier. How blessed we are to have knowledge of this man and the life that he lived in sacrifice and giving and serving your people and the great Apostle Paul. We give you praise for your faithfulness and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.